daily audio Bible is something that is on the on an app on my phone, and there are several at Renovatus who have been reading through the Bible. Tomorrow is a good time for you to start. If you haven't done this, tomorrow's a good time because tomorrow begins the second half of this year. Something like that. And it's rich and it's helpful. I've read through the Bible, but now to listen through the Bible, it takes me to some different places that I wouldn't find or hear normally. So I just want to challenge you and encourage you to do that. Right now, we've been reading through 1st and 2nd Chronicles and 1st and 2nd Kings, and it's exactly what it sounds like it is. It's the kings of Judah and Israel. Now, this new nation, in that they've only had kings for a short period of time, they had first king, which was Saul, and the second king, which was David. And by the time they got to, they didn't get very far at all before there was all of a sudden a division in the kingdom. And then there's the northern kingdom, Israel, 10 tribes, and the southern kingdom made up of two tribes called Judah. Kings is telling the story of Israel and telling the story of Judah. And it's helpful in that it recreates looking at two specific men to describe what's been going on in the whole nation. And that is, there are some men that passionately pursue relationship with Jehovah, with Yahweh, and there are others that are passionately disobedient. As a matter of fact, there's two standard bearers for good behavior and bad. It is intriguing to me that if one of these kings is obedient and paying attention and in pursuit, then the comparison is like David. And David becomes the benchmark, the poster child of what it looks like to walk in relationship with God. And there's no curiosity in my mind at all why we do name our children and our grandchildren David. It's a charming name, but we rarely name our children Jeroboam, because that becomes the bar setter for vile behavior. And man, I tell you what, if a king was disobedient and leading his people in disobedient ways, the worst thing you could say about a king is, and they did badly before the Lord, just like Jeroboam. Dun, dun, dun. It was bad. So there comes a point in chapter 22 and 23 where a king is put in place in the nation of Judah, in the southern kingdom. And he's only 12 years old. He's just a boy, but he's led by wise people and he's raised by godly people. And so Josiah walked in the way of his forefather David. Josiah was a young man that discovered the beauty of relationship with Yahweh. Josiah was a guy that, in the midst of all the vile and terrible things that were going on, discovered scripture. And he began to read and he began to follow. And all of a sudden, there came a point at which they're going, wait, tell me more about the temple. And the temple was right there in the capital city of Jerusalem. But I tell you what, it was neglected and it was ignored. And the young king said, we've got to do something about this. And so restoration happened. And what was going on in that boy's life became reflective of what was going on in the nation. There was a surge of love for Jehovah. There was passionate service in the kingdom that was refreshing. And hope was renewed. Josiah is the story of hope being renewed. That's in chapter 22 and 23. And by the time we get to 2 Kings chapter 25, hope is dashed. All hope is gone. The king that is leading the nation there, and I'm not even going to mention his name, leads so badly that finally God says, okay, this is not okay. And so he allows the Assyrian nation to sweep through Judah. And this building, only recently restored by young King Josiah, is sacked. The temple is destroyed. The temple is burned and torn down. The hope that once stirred in the hearts of the Jewish people was now dashed and destroyed. That's not what I'm going to be talking about tonight. As I was reading all of that this week, I thought, how do we avoid in such a short three chapters of our lives, how do we avoid that kind of whiplash when we're going one direction with passion and gusto and all of a sudden we hit a wall, all of a sudden we, I'd like to tell a terrible story. I've got a friend who had a rebellious teen life. And he thought it was really funny to be mean to the neighbor's pony. You know, one of those Shetland ponies. He was strong, and he and his buddy thought it'd be funny if they could, you know, mess with the pony. And he got the pony running, and they got to running full speed, had the rope in their hand, and then they ran around a tree and cinched that rope up. And when the pony, hit the end of that rope, they killed the horse. It wasn't funny anymore. What started out as teenage boys being foolish teenage boys ended up destroying this sweet animal. That kind of whiplash is deadly. As a matter of fact, in the reading this morning, the northern kingdom of Israel is destroyed. The way destruction comes in these ancient times is the Assyrians, they were the ones that swept through, and they take the people that live in those villages and towns and they move them. And they take them hundreds of miles away and they make them walk, and people die along the way, and they're relocated in a place where they don't know the customs and they don't know the language and they're not home anymore. And they'll move some other people that they've conquered into those first people's homes. Home is not home anymore. And the way they conquered was to absolutely disrupt all there was. It was hard. It was harsh. So, in this series, 2024, the challenge is to start dreaming about, okay, where are you going to be? What choices are you going to make? What's going to be before you in the next 5 years? How will you get from point A to point B? If you will want to avoid those awful whiplashes, those deadly moments, what do you do? What's the next step? Every week I've been making a suggestion. Tonight's recommendation is to encourage you to maneuver praise into the very heart of your five-year plan. I don't know. I just think when Malcolm or others stand before us and lead us in worship and my heart is stirred, that means something. That goes somewhere. That's a rich and meaningful place inside Kevin. And so, what will you do between now and 2024 to make worship more vital, more critical, and absolute in your life? In a word, tonight we're going to study hallelujah. That is a word that was never translated out of the Jewish language. The phrase is transliterated. That is, they weren't about to change it from its original. It was just too beautiful. And so they said, we're just going to incorporate this new word into our language. And so we speak this interesting Jewish word in English. Before I tell you much more, now that you know where we're going, let's pray. God, if you would grace me, Father, with the presence to share those things that you and I have been sharing the last couple weeks, that would be my desire. I pray, God, that you allow your spirit to move freely in this room, that you allow us to hear your voice, whether I say the right words or not. We trust you, God. We pray by the name of Jesus. Amen. That word, hallelujah, one of my favorite definitions is this: to be clamorously foolish before God. To be clamorously foolish before Him. Let me describe it this way. Watch this video. Santiago had a concert at the Gorge. That happened right here in this state. And I just... not if you didn't recognize me. That was way after 76. This was 1989. How old were you in 1989? Anyways, there's a moment in a human's life when all control is lost. There comes a point at which, if you have a moment of sanity and you realize I'm making a fool of myself, It's that second moment that's hallelujah. It's that second moment that says, okay, this is embarrassing, and I don't care. That's the principle of hallelujah. We Americans are really safe. We make our worship very intellectual. As a matter of fact, I'm thinking when I'm talking about worship, I'm giving out an outline. Everybody, please take notes. Maybe it would have been more appropriate for us to say, and so Malcolm, just come lead us in worship. But there's some beautiful things that I want for us to unpack in that daily audio Bible. This morning was Psalm 148, one of the most beautiful passages on praise. As a matter of fact, tomorrow's reading and the day after is going to be totally about worship as well in the book of Psalms as we hear Psalm 149 and 150. So start tomorrow. No, I'm not getting paid to do this commercial, but it's going to be worth your while. Daily audio Bible. Find it online. Download it, the app on your phone. Start tomorrow and listen to Psalm 149. But Psalm 148 is just beautiful. I want you to stand and read it with me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him from the skies. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all the armies of heaven. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you twinkling stars. Praise him, skies above. Praise him, vapors high above the clouds. Let every creature give thanks, praise to the Lord, for he issued his command and they came into being. He set them in place forever and ever. His decrees will never be revoked. Praise the Lord from the earth, you creatures of the ocean depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds, wind and weather that obey him. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all livestock, small scurrying animals and birds, kings of the earth and all the people, rulers and judges of the earth, young men and young women, old men and children. Let them all praise the name of the Lord, for his name is very great. His glory towers over all the earth and heaven. He has made his people strong, honoring his faithful ones, the people of Israel who are close to him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I almost wish I had the courage to say, now let's read that again, and this time, let go. This time, be loud. This time, let me break down this hallelujah idea. And I do want you to take notes. I want you to notice that there's more space on the back for you to get the real important stuff. But this may take 5 years, or this may take 10, or this may take the next 25, or what begins on the last day of June in the year 2019 may be something that has no end to it at all. There are some hallelujah foundations that I want to share with you. These principles, these undercurrents that might be a valuable outline as you figure out what you're going to do that is most important in the next 5 years. Foundation number one is the foundation of direction. It begins with the where idea. Praise him where? He starts out in verse 1. Heavens and skies. If you want to become a hallelujah junkie, if you want to lose yourself before a God that is just that worthy and just that great, then think in terms of expanding your where. If your worship happens only when somebody like Malcolm says, let the worship begin, then this is the place to start. Because if your worship only takes place at the Vancouver Tech Center, if your worship takes place only on Sunday evening, that's not going to get you through the next 5 years. It's not exclusive to this space. It's not exclusive to these songs. It's not exclusive to this strategy. It's not exclusive. Worship isn't restricted to a time. Worship isn't restricted to a space. Worship isn't restricted to a system. We have absolute, unrestricted space before God. Everything was made to praise Him, but we are made in His image, like Brenda said. There is something that is beautiful and unique about us. And I tell you what, He says, come on home. I want you to live in this. I want this to be the atmosphere that you breathe. In 1989, there was a movie called The Abyss, and Ed Harris played a guy named Bud Brigham. And they were at ocean depths in the ocean that was so critically dangerous that the premise was this. When we send you out here, Bud, when we send you out of the ship, the air in your lungs will expand too quickly and explode your lungs. So the scientific answer is for you to breathe liquid oxygen. And so he gets in the suit. And so the liquid oxygen begins to fill up. And they're trying to explain to him, okay, in just a moment, you're going to automatically, this is normal, this is natural, you're going to panic. You're going to freak out, but hang in there. Your body's going to adjust. Don't panic. Don't freak out. Hang on. Hang on. And he does. He totally freaks out. He totally comes unglued. And finally, in his panic, he can't hold his breath anymore, and he takes the first gulp. And you see peace come across his face. It made no sense to his mind. His body fought it entirely, but there came a point at which he kind of went, okay, this is new thinking for me. Could I just say that if you will have the courage to expand praise from what happens on a Sunday and allow it to move, there's going to be panic. Allow it to expand. There's going to be concern. There's going to be moments when everything in you says, this is not right. This doesn't feel right. And you're going to try to hold on to preconceived notions from 2019. But if you have the courage to take that first gulp, by the time you get to 2024, you're not going to be the same person. Praise is the air we breathe. We were made to breathe this air. It's who we are. It's our makeup. But there's something about our physicality that says, fight it, resist it, don't do this, hold on to your sanity, don't get lost in this moment. Keep it rational. May the next 5 years in your life take you to moments where you discover praise that is deep and rich wherever you happen to be. Foundation number two is the foundation of design. Praise Him who? Let me recap. We just read together, praise Him, angels and armies and birds and clouds and creatures and critters and earth and fire and hail and judges and kings and livestock and moons and mountains and oceans and old people and skies and snows and stars and sun and trees and weather and wind and wild animals and young people. That was just alphabetical. And that's just the outline. That's just the majors. That is exactly what Brenda said. We were made for this. If we reflect our true identity, our creation, then we are going to reflect the Creator, and that is, we were made for this. This is who we are. Psalm 119, the first 6 verses say this: the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words, no sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises out of one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. Everything was made to bring honor and glory back to the Creator. That's who you are. Praise is woven into the fabric of the universe. One of my favorite Jesus songs from the mid-80s included these lyrics. If the heavens are telling the glory of God, then I too must tell of what he has done for me. For by his work, the artist is known. Everything was designed to honor the Creator. It's their original purpose and intended beauty. This is not a catchphrase for the Renovatus Church of Christ. This is a foundational line that is woven into the fabric of everything created. We were made with beauty that ought to be returned back to him. May you in the next 5 years discover your identity that is that one that is supposed to bring him honor and glory. Foundation number 3 is the foundation of deeds. This is the praise him why question from verses 5 and 6. He is creator. Celebrate his deeds and his works and his effort. I tell you what, Brenda sitting in the garden, there are delightful moments when I realize I'm up here trying to say God words, but everybody's attention is looking right past me into the rabbits that are playing in the grass. And I just don't care. My pride might be a little bit wounded, but I tell you what, if you look past the guy that's trying to proclaim the words of God to notice what God's doing at the moment, that's really a step in the right direction. I'm not saying be ADD on God's behalf. Don't allow every moment to be something where you're totally not present, but rather assume that God has got you surrounded by his presence. He is one that has some beautiful stories to speak before you and to speak through you. And so don't move too quickly from that sunset. And turn the leaf over and look at all the veins. And listen to that bird's song and wonder what in the world is God trying to proclaim through that sparrow. We were made for this, and he is worthy of our praise. The word worthy appears 48 times in Scripture, and I'm telling you, he is. He is worthy. There's this amazing passage in Revelation chapter 4, and John, who's writing this story, is having a vision of grand and glorious things taking place. He is seeing this worship service that appears to have started before time began, and he happens to walk in the middle, and it's beautiful and grand and amazing. He describes the throne that God is sitting on, and he says, in the center and around the throne, there were four living creatures, And they were covered with eyes in front and back. And the first living creature was like a lion, and the second like an ox, and the third had the face of a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. And each one of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. And day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Wait. So John's watching this moment when they are praising God on his throne. And there are these magnificent creatures, and all they can do is take delight and honor as they speak about the truth of God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy. Guys, that's your line. I'm going to read this again, but I want you to stand up. Here's your script. Stand now. I've got the microphone, so I can be louder than you, but I want you to do your best. Here's what I want to happen. You're going to start reading your words, and I'll start reading mine. And I want you to read them normal. But when you finish, I want you to crank it up just one notch when you start it a second time. And a third time, I need you to hear yourself, and I need you to pay attention to not what Kevin's told you to do, but pay attention to the truth, and that is that he is holy, and he was and is to come. He is eternal. And I need you to just get louder and louder and louder, and sometime or down the road, we'll stop this and move on. I want to challenge you in the next few minutes to get lost. Let's begin. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy. There were four living creatures. They were covered with eyes in front and back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had the face of a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of them had six wings, covered with eyes all around and under. And day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, 24 elders would fall down before him and sit on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns down before the throne and they say, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being, was and is to come." One more time. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. You may be seated if you can. That's it exactly. Guys, this grand picture where these indescribable beasts are singing the truths of God, and these majestic men that are the elders of Israel, who have crowns of gold on their head, who have symbols of authority, they take off their symbols of authority and they throw them down before the throne of God and they say, "You are worthy to receive glory and honor and power." Guys, this happens in Revelation. There's a very similar scene that happens at the beginning of the book of Isaiah, and they sound remarkably same. You know what I think? It started before Isaiah, and 600 years later, John watches it, and that worship service is going on now. And when we get together and we sing the songs of praise to him, we're just joining in to what's already been happening eternally. You want to have a hallelujah moment? Remember him for his deeds. Pay attention. Don't just go, "Oh, a bunny." But allow it to go to a deeper place and begin to shout the truths. Marvel at his goodness. Praise him for his deeds. for he is faithful, for he is worthy. We can do no less. We can easily do church apart from the movement of the Holy Spirit. It's not right. It's not God-honoring, but we can. Or we can have courage to set ourselves on a trajectory, maybe, I don't know, in the next 5 years or so, to become impressed with God again. To allow God to move out of our brain that tries to understand things logically, intellectually, rationally, and allow him to be big so that the creatures that worship him, so that the people of authority that fall down before him, so that the very core of all creation is shouting out his praise, we can say, I'm in. My pride is not worth it. I'm ready to take delight in his deeds, to acknowledge my nature, to take delight in how he is so merciful and patient with me. I challenge you to allow your resistance of foolishness, the movement of your pride, and allow it to move out of your way. We allow pride to be such a motivator, and we will stop just short of really letting go. I got to tell you, I really thought hard and long, because after saying all of this, aren't you ready to sing some of those songs that we already sang? I looked at some of those lyrics, Malcolm, and I'm going, some of the songs you chose were ordained. And I resisted jotting down some of those lyrics because we're about to be done. But we're not going to sing one more song. We're going to leave it right here. We're just going to be done, because it's going to take us, what, a good 5 years to really throw ourselves fully. We're not going to just have a lovely little emotionally stirring moment where we sing really loud and then walk out and do life different tomorrow, life the same tomorrow. No, the point is to do life differently tomorrow, is to allow us to get to moments where we're going, okay, I'm in. I'm not satisfied with a God that could be contained in my rational brain. I'm ready to find a God that can make a bunny. As we were at the zoo yesterday, Brenda's looking at a tortoise and a porcupine and saying, how can you explain that in any other way other than a creative, humor-filled God? I want to challenge you to lose your sense of propriety. Stop trying to do it right. Give yourself the gift of losing it. I thought it would be really kind of charming to find some of the lyrics of that song, of that goofy video, of that man that was totally lost in the moment. It's an awful song. Should never be played in church. Ever. Unless God gets the glory. And that's what he does. He takes our worst moments. He takes our shame. And he allows us to somehow, in his mercy, to become unstoppable. To step into the throne room where we have no business being. And doesn't just give us entrance. I mentioned a worship service that happens in Isaiah chapter 5. And Isaiah sees all of this beauty and this grandeur, and then he's filled with shame. And he says to the angel beside him, he says, I'm a man of unclean lips, And I live among a people of unclean lips, and I so get that because I'm standing there with Isaiah. And I'm in the throne room and I'm going, I don't deserve to be here. I should not be here. But it gets even more absurd than this. He doesn't just give you permission to stand in the throne room. He says, come here. And it is not with reluctance because we're approaching the king, but it's with joy and passion because he's our dad. And we run into his arms and he lifts us into his lap. That's what you've been called to. Anything you do between now and 2024 that is less than a child running into his daddy's arms is not what he has in mind for you. Oh God, thank you for your mercy and your kindness, for your incredible patience where you are willing to put up with our foolishness. But God, our desire, in moments of sanity like this, our desire is to live clamorously foolish before you. Like a child that just doesn't know any better. Like a child that is completely and in every way comfortable, even before a throne. That's who we desire to be. That's what we desire to be a part of as we are part of your household, Father. We love you and we praise you and we ask that you give us some moments in the next 5 years or 5 minutes to speak of your kindnesses and your mercy and how you delight in us. We pray by the name of Jesus, who showed us how and ushers us into your room. Amen. Parents, go get your kiddos, visit with somebody, hug a neck, be nice or something. To the glory of God.